Today she is Masechta Shkolim Daf Yud Gimel. We will begin on Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis, 7 lines from the bottom. Rabbi Elazar Amir Machru. Our Mishnah said, "Hamagdish Nechosef, somebody's magdish his assets. V'hoi ben dvarim ruin l'gabim mizbeach, and he had different, and amongst the assets there were different things that could be brought in the mizbeach. Yeino shmanim v'oifes, wine, oil, birds. Rabbi Elazar Amir Machru. We should sell it for that purpose, and bring with that money a carbon oila. Everything else should be brought for Bedek HaBayis." Says the Gemara, Rabbi Avuah b'Shem Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish explains Tama de Rabbi Elazar. The Rabbi Elazar says that it should be sold for whatever it's needed and use the proceeds for carbon oila. Because the Pasuk says, "Dabal Aram v'Albonov asher krivu l'Hashem oila." We learn from this Pasuk, says the Gemara, Hakel Karav Oila. Everything should be used for an oila. So the Ritvaz asks a question. Do we have a stira in the opinion of Rabbi Elazar? Previously, he says, when we learned the opinion of Rabbi Elazar, he says that Hamagdish Nechasov, if somebody's Magdish says Nechasov, that the behemoths don't go for an oila. The behemoths, he didn't say like Rabbi Yeshua that said everything goes for carbon oila. And here he says that everything goes for carbon oila. And because of this, he says there's actually two Rabbi Elazars in our Gemara. One is Rabbi Elazar with a yud, and one is Rabbi Elazar without a yud. The Rambam holds that even though everything, Rabbi Elazar holds that everything should go for the Bedek HaBayis, that's only animals that have a din or pigeon. So says the Rambam, when you have an animal which is subject to pigeon, that's where Rabbi Elazar says that that animal should be used, the proceeds should go for Bedek HaBayis, as we spoke in our previous year, because Bedek HaBayis has this chumrah, that everything that you use for Bedek HaBayis, that everything is used, there's nothing that goes to an individual, nothing goes to the Kahanim. But something which doesn't have pigeon, there Rabbi Elazar would agree, he explains that it should be brought for Karban Olam. That we would say that even if somebody bought with the animal, with the proceeds, carbon birds for oilus oif, that if somebody has amongst the assets a bird, they should bring for carbon oila. Tamlaimar, babakavalai ba'ifus. The birds that you have should not themselves be brought for carbon oila. Rather, we should use the proceeds to buy a behemoth for carbon oila. Says the Gemara, they were sitting in the Beis Medrash, and they asked the question, we learned in the end of our previous year that if somebody, according to Reb Shimon, was separated and cave for his carbon oila, and we discussed that there are two levels of Kedusha. There's Kedusha Stamim, something that has mandatory Kedusha, and there's Kedusha Saguf, something which is inherent Kedusha. And one of the Nafkaminas we explained between Kedusha Stamim and Kedusha Saguf is something that has Kedusha Haguf, Oysa Tamura, could turn into a Tamura, whereas something which only has Kedusha Stamim doesn't have that level of Kedusha. So we learned in that shir, the Reb Shimon says that if somebody was mafresh on the cave for carbon oil, which is brought from animals, cannot be brought from a behemoth. But if he was magdish, a female for carbon oil, it does get the kedushas aguf. And the way we explained, one of the code words of saying something as a kedushas aguf, it's oisa tamura, it's subject to hilchas tamura. And the reason was, shekein the kevah shabayif k'sher lav al oila. Because there is a circumstance where you could bring a carbon oila from an oif, when it's a bird. So we see, that's why since by there's a carbon oila comes as in the kevah, that's why by behema, there's a kedushas aguf on a female. Here, asked the Gemara, kan amar hachan, here that we said the birds don't get a kedusha. Why don't I get a kedusha? Because why not? Shouldn't we say the same svara? And why do we say now, oifus, that the of a loy office that the halacha doesn't apply for office. Amr Reb Yosef kiamti kahad Amr Reb Shmuel b'shmeira kasha any chayil karav in a situation where it can't be brought in the mizbeach loy he loy demer that it itself can't be brought in the mizbeach and not its money because the halacha is that kedushas haguf doesn't have a pinyan. That's why loy kacha el hegdish damim. It only gets a hegdish damim. And that's why, v'at amrjos, you should agree that, therefore, that there is no kedushas aguf on oilus la'kriva in at yochel, because you can't bring bread itself, the ksiv, as we just read, the pasuk says, v'akav alay oifus. L'fai levdoi se'ir at yochel, you can't redeem it, because da'aloch is she'en lo'if pidyon. Birds aren't subject to pidyon, as the Mishnah says in Masech de Menachos, Daf Kuf Amud Beis. L'fum kach tzarech meimer. Because of these rules, the halach is lekotcha. That's why we say that if somebody was magdish an oif, and the kevus oif, the halach is it doesn't have a kedushas aguf, it only has kedushas aguf, kedushas domim. Whereas if somebody was magdish a female behema, there I can't say it gets a kedushas aguf. Because it's royal opinion, it can be redeemed. Says the Gemara, Chavrayu b'shem Rav Yochanan. The Bnei Yeshiva said in the name of Rav Yochanan, Rav Avya b'nigri omu kamei rabbele b'shem Rav Yochanan, Tama dehen Tanya. The reasoning for this Tana that said that if somebody was mafresh a female, lo'ilosoi or l'pischoi or l'ish shamoi, which are all situations of kabbonis for which a female is disqualified. That Tana held ain oyster tamura. It doesn't get a kedushas aguf because the pasuk says emkol behema tameya asher li kurevenu emena karmel Hashem. And the pasuk continues vehemnes a behema lfnei akoyin verach akoyin oysoi bein toy bein ra kerkecha akoyin kein yia. And we need to understand the pasuk. Ma tamalayim behema. We can't say that the pasuk is speaking about somebody who designated a non-kosher animal for a carbon, because the pasuk already mentions v'en behema hatameyu fada b'kercha. Ella, the pasuk is coming to teach us tameyu b'oyis Hashem. That means that for the carbon that this animal was designated, it's like a tameyu. It's disqualified, and therefore, if somebody was magdish on the keva for an oila, or for Pesach, or for Asham, then in all these cases, the Torah says, V'yerech ha-kayin oisai. The kayin should assess its value, and that's the value that we use for carbon, and it doesn't get a kedushas aguf. It only has kedushas domen. So we see from here that whenever you designate an animal for carbon that it can't be used, it doesn't have kedushas haguf. Ask the Gemara Kasha, but the pasuk says bedoksiv. This very pasuk that we just read says vehemet veherech. Now the halacha that Rav Shimon holds is that only kachim is beach when we come to redeem them have requirement of hamad varocha, a special procedure followed in the way we pay to them. Every other animal, every other carbon, every other kedush hegdish doesn't require that type of procedure. So if we're saying that since you designated an animal for carbon, for which it can't be used, so it doesn't get a kedushas aguf. It only gets a kedushas domim. So why would the Torah say that there's a requirement for hamad v'arocha? Rav Zeir b'shem Rav Elazar, Loya McCain, says, not like this, not like you just said, that this pasuk is a raya, that it doesn't have a kedushas aguf. On the contrary, he says, from this pasuk we can bring a raya that it has a kedushas aguf. Because the pasuk says, Vim ko behemash tameya shlo yikrevenu mena karbon Hashem. Now the word carbon in this pasuk is superfluous. The pasuk should have said, Vim ko behema ashlo yikrevenu mena Hashem. It teaches us, kol she'en royal karv loikan, any animal which can't be used as carbon under any circumstances, that's when ain oyser tamura. It doesn't get that kedushas aguf. Yotzis
in the keva, a female, la'ayla, or for Pesach, for Oshem, that after Bish any royal karav kan, it can't be used for the animal, it can't be used for the purpose that it was designated. However, royal karav b'makam acher, it can be used for karav shlomim, and therefore it gets a kedushas aguf. Ravuv Rabban bon kamei Rav Zeira. So they asked Rav Zeira that the rule that we said that kosh any royal karav kan v'loy b'makam acher, anything that can't be used under any circumstances, the halacha is ein oisa tamura, it can't make a tamura. So they asked, harei haroivav nirva. When we speak an animal that was sodomized, shen royal karav kan v'loy b'makam acher, that can never be used as a carbon, yet we see the oisa tamura. And you just said that any animal that can never be used as a carbon never obtains that kedushas aguf. So I saw that the Rish Sarola asks a question. How do we know that these animals can't be used as a carbon? So he says, because the Torah says, Mashchasam Bom, the Torah says regarding these animals that they're treated like a Balmum. So whatever is the halach, and since, as we know, the halach is that a Balmum can't be used as a carbon, these animals can also not be used. These animals also cannot be used as a carbon. But we know, he asks, that the halach is the memirim b'balmum. That by balmum, the halach is, we can, that it does get the kedusha, that it's subject to tamura. So his question is, you want to say that roivav and nirva don't have kedusha saguf. They're not subject to hilchus tamura. Why not? They should be exactly like a balmum, from which we know they're halach, and a balmum is subject to Tamura. So the Har Ephraim wants to say a chiddush. This that we said that a balmum is subject to mura, that's only kodem magdesh lemumai, when we magdish the animal before it became a balmum. And indeed, if the animal was, when we were magdish this animal, it was before it was a roivei of a nirva, then the halacha would be that we could make, it would be subject to kedusha saguf. It would be subject to tamura. Here we're talking about a case where they were a revei or a nirva before we were magdish them. It's a big chiddush, because that's not posh pshat in the Gemara. Amalon, so the question is, why are the revei and nirva subject to tamura? They don't have a kedusha saguf. So it says, Afanilo marti el tamei mamish. I only spoke about an animal which is inherently unusable for a carbon, the type of animal. But a revei of a nirva is not an animal which is inherently disqualified. This particular animal is disqualified. But the Gemara asks for Kasha, can we say that the Pasuk is talking about Beheya Tameima? But the Pasuk says Vehemet Veherech. And a Beheima Tameya, that procedure of a Herech Vehemech, like we said a moment ago, is not applicable to. Says the Mishnah, Achs L'Shloshim Yoim, once every 30 days, Misharon HaSalishka, they would determine how much they should charge for the different things that they sold in the Beis HaMikdash. In other words, as we've discussed, they bought flour and oil and wine, and they used to buy and make a determination every 30 days what is the proper price. In other words, every 30 days, they set, the Rambam says, the price in the Beis HaMikdash for these various articles. What is the price that somebody has to pay for purchasing them if he wants to use them in the Beis HaMikdash? Kol HaMakabal of Osakib. So somebody agreed to be the supplier to the Beis HaMikdash of Saltos, and he agreed to pay that the fee will be Arba. That you get four saw for seller. And then the price of saltois went up. And you only could get solois. You only could get three saw for seller. The halach is yisapik me'arba. You have to pay according to the old price. That means the hegdish is locked in to the old price. That's to a positive. However, mishalosh Vamdu Arba, if originally when Hegdish made the deal, it was a three saw per seller, and then the price dropped, that you get four saw per seller, you sapik marba. Now they have to go down to the lower price. Because the Mishnah establishes Yad Hegdish Aliyane. Hegdish is always in the stronger. Hegdish is always in the stronger position. So here we're learning that they used to make the price every 30 days. Ask the Mefarshim that we're going to learn that they made the price at the beginning of the season. So what pshat that they made it every 30 days? So the Tveres Yisrael says that at the beginning of the season, they indeed determined the price. What should be the price of the various articles that they sold in the Hegdish? But even though at the beginning of the season, they knew that they want a contract, that they should have what they're going to need for the season, still, Tveres Yisrael said, what our Mishnah is teaching us is that every 30 days, they re-examined if that's still the proper price, or that they should change the price because the market changed. If the supplier who supplied flour to the Beis HaMikdash, the flour became wormy, the loss goes to the seller. Or if there's a supplier of wine and the wine spoiled, it goes to the loss is to the seller. The halach is he doesn't get paid until they brought in the mizbeach and it's usable. Until then, we don't owe money. Asked the Rosh, how could they give money if they didn't get anything in return? So he says that they didn't use Hegdish money. They started off with chula money that they replenish with Hegdish money. Tana b'shem Rav Shimon, but Rav Shimon teaches us b'yad ha'yom kamos ma'aseyim that they got paid immediately because the kahanim was rizmahein. As soon as the kahanim got the supply, they immediately used it. And since as soon as the kahanim got the supply, they immediately used it, there is no concern that it's going to become wormy. The only time you have a concern that's going to get wormy is if it's a situation where they're going to hold on to it. But if here they're not holding on to it anyway because they're going to use it immediately, there is no concern. That concern doesn't apply. And here we see a concept that we find often in Shas. The concept of Kahanim's Rizmahin, that we could trust that the Kahanim is Rizm, that they took over, that they make sure to take care of everything in a very quick manner. And the Rav Tzadik explains that that's part of what the Torah says, that the Kahanim are Kedoshim. As the Pasuk says regarding the Kahanim, Aaron represents Kedusha. And one of the ways that somebody obtains Kedusha is through Zrizus. A person who is a Zoris, a person who's always anxious and quick to do the Ratzon Hashem, that's a person. Why is he doing that? Because he's showing that that's what's important to him. There's nothing more important to him than doing mitzvahs and obtaining Kedusha. So somebody who's a Zoris, indeed, is a Kayin, because Zrizus and Kedusha travel very much together. Our Mishnah goes on to describe that there were 15 positions in the Beis HaMikdash, and the Mishnah goes on to describe who had these 15 positions, and then we're going to Mitzvashem discuss what does that mean. Says the Mishnah, these were the people who were appointed to positions of authority in the Beis HaMikdash. Yochim and Pinchas al Chesamis, he was in charge of the Chesamis that we've been discussing, and we will discuss how they had a procedure when somebody paid, he got a ticket, and then he got whatever he paid for. Achia al Nesachim, he was in charge of the Nesachim. Masi ben Shmuel al Apaisis, every day there were a minimum of 4 goyrels in the Beis HaMikdash, who should do what avoid in the Beis HaMikdash, and that was he was in charge. That was done by Masya ben Shmuel. There's an interesting question that I saw Rav Chaim Kamievsky Shlita discusses, and that is that were these jobs given strictly to Kohanim Leviim, or they're given to Yisraelim as well?
So he said in his Sefer Shekel HaKodesh, he says that certainly lechatchila, all of these positions should have been given to Kohanim Yisraelim, and that's what should be done lechatchila. If b'di'evit or b'makom tzairich, the halacha is, then you could use Yisrael. Our Mishnah clearly is an indication that these positions were not only given to Kohanim and Leviim, because we learned different positions in our Mishnah. One of the positions we're going to learn is Mordechai was a Mamun al Kohanim, Sachi was a Mordechai. And Mordechai, we know, wasn't a Kohen or a Levi. So we see that these positions are not limited to given to Kohanim or Leviim. On the other hand, he says, why is there a din that lechatchila they should be given to Kohanim or Leviim? Because the Torah says, V'kama sachi chamat levi, shevet avicha, hakev etcha v'yilovo elecha v'sher sucha. So we see that lechatchila it should be given to that shevet, and if not, only when there's a need do we give it to someone else. Then I saw the Sefer Chashuk Rechemed has a discussion. Here we're discussing the various positions in the Beis HaMikdash, and he wants to know, is it something that a person should strive to have a position, or is it better not to have a position? In other words, the question he's discussing, if somebody is offered a position of authority, he's offered a position of Rabbonus, should he accept it or not? The Shulchan Aruch, Echai Shemishpet, Simen Ches, Sif Gimel says, Tarech HaChomem Rishonim, the way of the earlier Chomem, Baruchim El Esmanos, they would try to avoid being appointed. V'doichim Atzmam Harbe, they would try very hard, Shaloi Yeshu B'din, that they should not participate in the Din Torah, Ad Sheyedush Ein Shamroi Kamoisam, unless there was no one else equal in stature to them. V'shem Yimno, and only in a situation where they recognized Shem Yimnu Atzmam and Adin, that if they're going to avoid being part of the Torah to Skalkal Ashura, it may not be done right. But became Loy Yosh Adin. They never agreed to sit down at the Torah Ad Shem Echdim Aleim Am Bazakenim Avtzirbem until people actually asked them strongly to accept that position. On the other hand, he quotes a Gemara in Masechta Baba Basra, Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis, where it says that we see there Simi Bar Ashi very much was anxious to be part of to be the Rosh Hashiva. So the question is, what is it? And here too, we see that all these great people were given these various positions of authority in the Beis Hamikdash. Is something that what is this something one should want to achieve or not? So he says, quotes the Ur V'Tumim, he quotes the Afla, that both took the position that there's a difference for a Din Torah and for other positions. Din Torah, when it's speaking about Dine Mamnis, there a person should try to avoid being a Dai in a Din Torah unless he has no other option. When it speaks about a position of authority, a Rosh Yeshiva, a Rav, or like we have the various examples of our Mishnah, where if a person believes that he could contribute by accepting this position, then the halacha is that he should accept upon himself such a position. Continue the Mishnah, B'sachya al Hakinim. The halacha is that there were, when a woman is a Yoledis, or a Zav, or a Zava, or different situations, they have to bring a pair of birds. And as the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, Paragimel, Mishnah Yudches, Kinem u'pischei nida, heinen gufei halachas. They are the most complicated of halachas to know. And since they're so complicated, they needed a person of great stature to be in charge of that entire part of the Beis HaMikdash. And Psachya, says the Mishnah, Zeu Mordechai. It was Mordechai, and he was the one that was able to take care of this part of the Beis HaMikdash. Ask the Mishnah V'lam Nikra Shmai Psachya. Why was he called Psachya? She B'seich Dvarim. He was able to understand V'darsham. He was able to understand difficult things. V'yedeya. And furthermore, as we know from the Megillah, Mordechai knew Shivim Lashon. Mordechai knew all 70 languages. And because Mordechai knew all 70
languages. That's why he was the person most suitable for this position. Rashi and Masechta Menachos, Daf Samach Dal Ramabez, Divrei Maskil Mordechai, said the Mordechai that was speaking here is the Mordechai from the time of Achashverosh. So Tosfos over there asks, does it make sense to say that Mordechai lived so many years from the time our Mishnayos were written by Rebbe in the time of Beis Hamikdash Sheni, at the end of the Beis Hamikdash Sheni, and Mordechai lived so long? So that's why Tosfos says that doesn't mean that Mordechai, it was somebody else whose name was Mordechai. Tiferes Yisrael, however, says that there are certain Mishnayos in Shas that were already taught before the time of Rebbe, and when Rebbe compiled the Mishnayos, he included them in his compilation. And this is one of those Mishnayos. This Mishnah already existed in the time of the Beis HaMikdash Rishon, and then it was brought down many years later by Rebbe when he put down the Mishnah. And the reason, as we said, we needed a person of Mordechai stature, because there's so many questions, the Mishnayos and Masechta Kinim discuss at great length different situations. If the birds got mixed up, what do you do? And you needed a great Talmud Chacham like Mordechai to be the one to decide. So I saw that if we look at the name of Mordechai and we look at the name of Psachya, we'll find something interesting. Mem, the letter Mem, is 40, is half the first letter Psachya, which is 80. The letter Resh is 200, is half the second letter of Tuf. And then the letter Dalid is half of the next letter Ches, 4 is half of 8. But then Chaf is double of Yud, and Hey, Chaf is double of Yud, and Yud is double of Hey. So he says that the Pasuk, this is what the Pasuk says, for your Resh Chamitzar, Mordechai started off very much lower. He started off half, Vachrischa, but then he grew, Yishgemoid, he grew very much. But, says the Chidah, that even though the Pasuk says that he grew, he still remained Banivis. At the end, he remained Banivis, and that's what's represented by the letters at the end of his name being half. Ben Achia was the person who was in charge of Chayle Ma'ayin. The Gemara will explain that the Kohanim, unfortunately, would get sick with stomach ailments, and he was in charge of taking care of them. The way I saw the Mefarshim explain, he used to tell them what medicines were good for their various ailments, and not only was he able to tell them which medicines were good for the various ailments, he used to provide them with the medicines, and he would get paid from the Beis HaMikdash, from the Beit HaKabayis. Nechunya Chayfer Sichin. Nechunya was the one that would dig pits for people to have when they went up to be oil regular. They should have water. Gvini Kruz. Gvini used to be the one to wake up everybody in the morning. Ben Gever on the Ne'ila Sha'arim, he was in charge of opening and closing the gates of the Azara every night and every morning. Ben Bobby Mamuna al Pekia, Ben Azal al Tzeltzo on the bells. Hud Ben Levi al Ashir. Hud Ben Levi was the one that made them, who helped them sing. It was very, that in the Beis HaMikdash, everything was done with singing. There's an interesting discussion. Here we see that there was a special individual, Hugris Ben Levi, who was appointed al Ashir. And the Mefarshim all speak about how important song is part of our avodah of davening. The avodah, the Shiras Halvim, that we see that they sang the Beis HaMikdash, is an incredible, important part of the Beis HaMikdash. And I saw that the Sefer Milah D'Shmaya says, Amru Zuchana Levrocha, HaTfilos Neged Tamidim Tiknun. All the tefillos that we have, Shachris and Mincha, are connected to Tamid Shal Shachris and Tamid Shal Ben Abayim. V'ayasel Oila, HaMikdash V'Akoyim V'Alevi B'Shir. And he writes,
And just like when they brought the kabbonis, the halacha is that they had shira, as we just saw. So too, when we bring a carbon, the halacha is that when we daven, there should be a shira. The Torah in Siman Nun Aleph says, Baruch Shomar. We begin our psuki de Zimra with Baruch Shomar. Tzorach la'amrai benigun ubeneima. Kushir no v'nechmed l'mala. When you say Baruch Shomar, you should say it with a shira. The Shulchan Aruch in Arachayim Siman Nun Aleph Siftes says regarding Mizma l'soida, Shiesh la'amrai benigina, Shekolat shirais asidis l'votel chutz mizma l'soida. The Reb Nasha Klein is a tzal in his Shal Sechuvas Mishnah Halachas Chelik Yud Zayin Simen Kuf Pei Tas says that the Chasam Sofer said that he would be willing to give up a big part of his learning in order to be able to sing better, because singing is such an important part of becoming close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Gemara says in Masechta Pesachim, Daf Kuf Yud Zayin, Amar Aleph, Ein Ashchina Shaira, Loi Metoich Schoik, V'Kalas Roish, V'Dvar Betelim, El Metoich Simcha Shal Mitzvah. And I saw Rav Moshe Sternbuch, in the Shas Atshuvas, Tshuvas Van Hoggis, Chelik Hei, Simen Kuf Ein Gimel, says, K'shem Shashir B'Migdash B'Peh B'Kli, He Avoida, U'Memnagn K'fiyah M'Saras H'Mekabolas, Kach Shiras HaShlich Tzibach Shuv Moid. Just like the shira in the Beis Hamikdash was so important, so too when a Baal Tefillah davens, it's important for him to daven in a beautiful fashion. Beis Garmu amas lechem upon him. The family of Garmu were the ones that baked the lechem upon him. Beis Avtinois were in charge of the Ktiris. Elazar was in charge of the Proichus. They made two new Proichus every year. Or Pinchas Hamalbush. And Pinchas was one who was in charge of the Big Day Kuna. I saw two pshatim. One pshat was that he was the one that every day took care of putting on the garments of the Kohanim, or he was in charge to make sure that the Kohanim had all the garments, that they had everything that they needed in the base Hamikdash. So we said, so our Mishnah mentioned all these people who were appointed to these positions. Says the Gemara of Chizkiya Omar that the reason their names were mentioned was because of an important purpose. Rav Simi Rabbonim, the question is, and the Gemara says the Machloikis, is everybody mentioned in our Mishnah a tzaddik or not? Chan Omar, the one man of them said, K'sheri dar v'dar bom limnos aleihem. All of the people who are mentioned in our Mishnah were tzaddikim. They weren't necessarily in every generation, but they were the ones from all the generations who were excelled in this. They excelled, and because they excelled, that's why they're the ones that are mentioned. And in fact, I saw the Mefarshim say that just like we see that the first king of Egypt was Paroi, and therefore in all future generations, the king of Mitzrayim is called Paroi. Similarly, we have that these people who are mentioned in our Mishnah were great individuals, and the people in the future generations who succeeded them in these positions were given the same name as the people who were the first ones that had this position. The Tana is just mentioning those who were who had these positions in the time when he wrote the Mishnah. Says the Gemara, Manda Mekshere called David Baal Limnos. That's all we could say on these individuals. Zechet tzaddik levracha. However, the one we mentioned, the people who were there in the time when they wrote the Mishnah, that they were excelled. But these people, as we're going to learn, did not necessarily. Were not necessarily great. Omer Rabbeinu, Siv, L'chein achalak loy berabim, v'satzumim yachalak shol. Zer Rabbi Kiva. Here the pasuk is referring to Rabbi Kiva. And Rabbi Kiva, that Hiskin a Medrash, he established the Medrash on Taurus Kahanim Safri. Halachas, he helped us establish halachas.
Hagada is to explain different Hagada. V'yeshem el anshe gnesa gdayla. It's referring to anshe gnesa gdayla. Tiknu el matikin. That they, all these that we just learned were established by anshe gnesa gdayla. What did Rekiva establish? Rekiva established the klolus upratis. He explained, he put rules in place. Another pshat that I saw that he established the klolus upratis means that he explained the klal uprat. A very common way that they used to explain psukim was a klal prat, and he was the one that helped us learn. He was the one that helped us learn klal prat. So our Gemara just used the word zeche tzaddik levracha on people who are alive, that there were people who were tzaddikim and did the right thing, and the pasuk says they was on them we say zeche tzaddik levracha, and then there were people who didn't do the right thing, and then we say shem rishoyim yarkov. So it's a very interesting discussion where there was a person who, there was a father and a son. The father's name was Osher Ginsburg, the Tshuvas Chavos Yor, Siman Ayin Aleph, and the son's name was David Ginsburg. And they went to overseas from Amsterdam to Portugal, and nobody ever heard from them. And there was a question that their wives were left aguna. After 10 years, there was a shtar that was brought to the Beis Din in Amsterdam. And one of the edim on the shtar was David ben Osher Zal Ginsburg. So the question is, the fact that it said Zal, is that a indication that the person, that he's not alive, that Osher is no longer alive, and that his wife should no longer be considered an aguna? So the Chavos Yor has a tshuva, and he says that when we see that the word, that the abbreviation, shlita, is attached to somebody's name, that clearly is an indication that that person is still alive. But when there's attached to somebody's name, the word zatzal, or zechrono levracha, just like our Gemara says that we use that a description on somebody who's alive, so too we could say that that description is used on somebody who's alive, and it's in no way an indication that Zeichet Tzadik Levrach is no way necessarily an indication that he is not alive. And in fact, I saw that Ramey Shapiro once came to a city, and the people in the city were so excited to have this great Ramey Shapiro coming to visit them, and the person who got up to introduce him said, Ramey Shapiro, Zichroinam Levracha. And then he realized what a terrible thing he said, as if he said Ramey Shapiro, he used the description which we usually use on somebody who's not alive. And he was very embarrassed. So when Ramey Shapiro got up to speak, he said to that person, he shouldn't feel so bad. He said he was once involved with halachic shaila, where there was a person whose mother was living by him, and he wrote a letter to his sister, and he writes about his mother, Zal. The sister got the letter, and she saw that her mother was described with the letter Zal. She was sure that her mother was no longer alive, and she sat shiva even. Then she came to visit her brother, and she sees Baruch Hashem, her mother's alive. She said to the brother, how did you write Zal if our mother, Baruch Hashem, is still alive? She said that Zal meant Zoleben. In Yiddish, that means she should be alive. So we see Ramey Shapiro says that all of these abbreviations don't necessarily have to have a negative meaning. Amravu Aksiv, U'mishpacha Soifrim, Yosh V'yavetz. Ma tam alayim is Soifrim. What did the pasuk mean with saying Soifrim? Elosho atayrus Sforis Sforis. They used to make, when they used to say the halachas, in order to be able to remember the halacha better, they used to give numbers to it. For example, we say chamisha lo yitru b'truma, chamisha dvarim chayav b'chala, chamisha asur nashim p'tur sarasayim, shloish v'sheish krisis, shloish asur dvar v'nemr b'nivlas oif tar, arba avas nazikin, avas melachas abayim chasachas. They used to attach numbers to the Torah to be able to remember it better. But I saw that the Sefer HaMakna explains that that was only done
in earlier generations where they were able to have the time to learn Torah that way. Bezman hazeh, we don't have the time to learn Torah. Furthermore, the Ramban says that this is only regarding counting, putting a number to help us remember how to understand the halacha. But it's not to teach us how many mitzvahs there were. They knew exactly that there were tayag mitzvahs, 613 mitzvahs. The only thing was that we have svarim, what are the exactly the 613 mitzvahs? But they didn't have to write, he didn't have to count how many mitzvahs there are. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Ksiv, Lezer HaKoyin HaSoifer, Matam Eloimer, why is Ezra Koyin called Soifer? L'kshem Shaya Soifer Divrei Torah, just like in Divrei Torah we make these lists, Kach Haya Soifer Divrei Chachamim. And as I saw, Ezra wanted to teach Klal Yisrael, the Gra explains in Deres Eliyahu, that he wanted Klal Yisrael to understand how important the Rabbanans are. And therefore, whatever they did in counting and helping remember the Doraisas, they did sell for the Rabbanans. Rechani B'Shem Reshmu B'Chanan, Harshenim Chorshu V'Zaru, the earlier generations really learned well, the Nichshu, and they weeded out any impurities from the Torah. Kischu, they covered the thorns. Odru, they plowed the ground. Katsru, Amru, they made it into piles. Doshu, they threshed the wheat. Zoru, they winnowed it. Baru, they selected. Tachnu, they ground it. Hekidu, they sifted it. Loshu, they kneaded it. Kitfu, they made the dough very nice. Vafu, and then they baked it. Vana and Anu and Lana Malacha. The early generations prepared so much for us, and we don't take advantage of what we have. Rav Abba Bazmina B'Shem Rav Zira. In Havakadim Malachim, if the earlier generations are Malachim, Anu B'nei Anush, we are people. Vim Havim B'nei Anush, and if they're people, Anu Chamoirim, we are to be considered like donkeys. Amar Ramona, and Ramona added, Bahishat and Amrim, when they said this statement, they said not only we considered like donkeys, but feel chamiter pinchas beyolad, meaning we're not even on that level. So the Shas Chuvas Rab Palam explains that if we look at the earlier generations, Kamalochim, if we look at them as if they're great like Malachim, then on the B'nai Adam, then we're people. But if we don't consider the earlier generations Malachim, if our attitude to the earlier generations is not as if they are Malachim, then we are Chamayrim. The Chassam Sofer has a different explanation. He says that if we act like we're supposed to be, then the earlier generations can be Malachim. Then they who are not here anymore, they're in Shemayim, they could be like Malachim, they could be Malachim, and they could go higher and higher, and of course help us. But if we don't act that way, if we don't act the way we're supposed to act, then we don't help the earlier generations, and they can't accomplish in Shemayim what we need them to accomplish on our behalf. And that's why it's brought down in our Gemara. Because our Gemara just said all that the previous generations did, and all that they did, how it helped us, the later generations, in our learning. So too, we have to have the respect. And when somebody learns halacha, he has to understand that what a Rishon says, certainly what an Amora or a Tana says, was said by a Malach. And we have to, our job is to try to understand what they said. But never, never can we disagree with what they said, because they are Malachim and we're B'nai Adam. Because if we don't have that attitude, we are Chamarim. And the Gemara mentioned the Chamrite der Pinchas Ben Yor. What is the story with that donkey? Gamate l'stoy b'layla, that was stolen by thieves. Avdis Tamir Gabon, and the Ganovim hit him. T'losu yom lo tamaklum. For 3 days, it didn't eat. They decided to return it. They would have no use with a dead donkey. Let's take you out from here. We don't want you to die here. They brought it to its owner's house. And it started to make noise because it was hungry. It hadn't eaten. So Pinchas told the family members, open up the door for this donkey. This la tlasu yom de lo tamaklum. It hasn't eaten
for 3 days. Paschalav Olasla. So they opened it and she came in. Amala Yavle Klum Teichel. So they gave her to eat. Yamakamai Sairim. They gave her barley. Labas Lamechel. And she refused to eat. Amle Rebis Labas Lamechel. She's refusing to eat. Alam Saknan Inan. So he said, did you take off Trumas and Maisers? Amle in. Yes, of course. Amle Remtum Damai. We know that Allah is if you buy from an Amoritz Tvua, you have to take off the Mai. Was the Mai removed? Amrin Le, Loikein Alfin Rebbe, haven't you taught us? The Lekech, Zera Le Behemoth, if you buy something for an animal, Kemach Le Iris, or you buy flour to use to process leather, Shemin Le Or, or you buy oil for lighting, Potem Le Demai. So this is an animal. There's no din of Demai here. Amalon, Manavid Lahada Lufta, what should I do? The Machmal Gar Masagin. She's machman herself. Arim and Demai, they took off Demai v'achlis. So I saw what pshat that an animal is machmer. One pshat is that from here we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so careful with tzaddikim, especially when it comes to machalos asuris, that even it's animals that we won't eat anything which is Demai. But then I saw another pshat that this produce was originally bought for the owner. Since it was originally bought for the owner, so then there is a problem with the Mai. Then they decided to give it to the animal. And that's why it was Mechuyev the Mai. We learned in the Mishnah Psachiel Kinim. It says, my godl ish, how great Mordechai was. Peseach Dvarim V'darshim, he was able to explain. Yedei B'shim Loshim, he knew all 70 language. Tani says the Gemara, Sanhedrin Sheesh B'shnaim Sheichem V'daber. If you have two members of the Sanhedrin that could speak all 70 languages, the Kuhn Ruin Lishmayim, and everybody could understand it, raise the Ruin Sanhedrin. That's a proper Sanhedrin. Shloisha Harezu Sanhedrin Benainus. If you have three people in that category, Arba Harezu Chachma. B'yavna Hoiba Arba, the Sanhedrin Arba had four such people. They had Ben Azai, Ben Zoyma, Ben Achnoi, Verbalos, Ben Masya. Amr Chizda Pam Achas Yofshe Tzisrael. One time there was a drought in Tzisrael. They didn't know from where to bring the Omer. There was a person who was a deaf mute. He put one hand on the roof. One hand on top of a hut. As soon as came, they didn't know what he was saying. They brought him to Pesachia. So he asked, "Is Asa the Maskaria Gagas Tzrifin or Tzrifin Gagas? Is there a place that's called Gagas Tzrifin Tzrifin Gagas?" Aslin Saman. They went to that place and they found the Omer. Amar Rabbi Yosef Rabbein, Pamachas Nishtav Kalaylam Kulay. There was a terrible drought. V'layoydim Ekelavi Omer again. They didn't know where to bring the Omer on the second day of Pesach. V'avet Haman Chad Elim. Dav Yoda Yoda Elanaya. He put his one hand on his eye. V'yoda Al Sukhra. One hand on the doorpost. They didn't understand what he meant. Isnui Lagav Pesachi. They brought him to Pesachia. Amalan is aser the miskari ain't soicher soicher ayin v'azon tam nishkachem. Shalosh noshim hevi kineim. There were three women that brought the kineim. Achsemer le nosi, achsemer le yamosi, v'achsemer le zomosi. Zeshamer le nosi. The one that brought from nosi, the sarvimem, they thought that shefas kamayin, that she was a zova. Amalan so b'sachy said to them that isn't what she meant. Be'ayin sakanta, she was in danger. And she's bringing this for that purpose. And the difference is that if she brings it for that purpose, then both birds are oila. Whereas if she brings it for a zava, one is a chattis and one is oila. Amaris la yamasi, savri la meima, shafaris kiyam, that she was a zava. Omlon, yamasakanta, she was in danger in the sea. Amaris la zivasoi, savri meima ziva mamish, omlon zeba little spino, that. And as I saw the Mefarshim say, why didn't we explain it as it sounds, that she brought it because she was a Zava? Because nobody would have said that publicly. The fact that it was said publicly was clearly an indication that they meant something else, which Mordechai was able to figure out that they were in danger and they were able to bring the Kabbanis. I saw the Mefarshim ask that a prerequisite of being a dayan in the Sanhedrin is to know all 70 language. So what was special? So one pshat I saw is that they were able to speak the language, communicate, not just understand it. Another is that they were able to understand the nuances of the different languages. They didn't have that, other people didn't have that ability.
Ben Achi, we said, was in charge of Chol HaMayim. Says the Gemara, they show you kind of mechalfin yachayfin al ritzba. They walked barefoot on the board, on the floor of the Beis Hamikdash, which was made out of stone. And Ayochlim Basar, they ate meat, a lot of meat. V'shoy Samayin, they drank water. They had stomach ailments. He knew which wine was good, which is good and which is not good. And I saw that the Mefarshim explained that we see that Kohanim, even though they recognized that by doing their jobs, they could become chas v'shalom sick, it did not stop them from doing what they want, what they were supposed to do, even though it was at the expense of getting sick. The Michsa Lozer in his Sefer Divrei Torah says, doesn't it say in Kohelis, Shema Mitzvah Lo Yeda Davara, somebody who does mitzvahs doesn't have to worry about getting sick. So how come over here he asks that the Kohanim get sick by doing the mitzvahs? So one answer he gives is that Kadosh Baruch Hu wants that when somebody does Avodas Hashem, sometimes it should come along with Yisurim. And another Peshat he says, sometimes the Kohanim would become a little arrogant from doing the Avodah. And because they became arrogant, this was their punishment that they had this Choyli Me'ayim.